by a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." Then the manager said to himself, "What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "How much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Sometimes Jesus comes up with these things that are just not easy to preach. So, here we go. Jesus told his disciples and some Pharisees who were also listening in a story about a clever but not very honest steward. In our translation it says manager, but it's the same as a steward, who had the responsibility of caring for his master's worldly possessions. This is a story where there's no good guys, because it turns out the master wasn't a particularly honest person either. We know that it was forbidden in the law of Moses for Jews to lend money to one another at interest, but this man had found a way around the law by lending oil and wheat instead. So clearly the master was not too serious about obeying the Jewish laws, but what he was serious about was making a profit. And so when he found out that his steward was wasting his possessions, he called him in and he fired him on the spot. But the steward, who was too old to do manual labor and too proud to beg, had a brilliant idea. He went to each of his master's debtors, one by one, and he reduced their debts. What he was probably doing was writing off the interest that they owed, and that way, the master was going to get back his principal, so he wouldn't have any legal grounds for having the steward arrested, because technically he wasn't allowed to charge interest anyway. The first real surprise in this story is that instead of getting angry, the master is impressed. "Hey," he said, "you're still fired, but good thinking." He seemed to have recognized a man after his own heart, somebody who looked to his own interests and who could take care of himself no matter what. That was something he could really admire. And so the master praised the actions of the dishonest steward. And Jesus said, "The sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." It's not the kind of parable we expect to hear from Jesus. That self-serving steward isn't anything like a kindly Samaritan or a loving father or a good shepherd or even a repentant son. But Jesus sees that we are like the steward because we each have our own choices to make about how we're going to use the things of this world. things that are going to fail us just as surely as the steward's position was lost to him, leaving him homeless and friendless. I tell you, Jesus said, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you in the eternal dwellings. One of the messages of the parable is that the things of this world don't belong to us in any permanent way. People like to say, you can't take it with you, but I don't think that we believe it completely. We might think that we've learned to hold the things of this world lightly, but if you've ever been robbed or cheated, or if somebody borrows something from you and loses it or breaks it or doesn't return it, it's very hard not to feel violated and resentful. It's very easy to forget that we're stewards of this creation. It's very easy to begin to feel as if we had a right to the money and the things that we worked hard to get. And especially if we're threatened with losing them, we suddenly realize how much we really thought of those possessions as our own, as belonging to us. And I think that one of the blessings of getting older, as many of us are, is that we gain that wisdom of understanding how transient the things of this world are. We come to understand better and better what things are of true and lasting value, and that is a good thing. But that's not all that Jesus wanted us to learn about being stewards. One of the messages of the parable is that, even though we're only stewards, still we're called to be faithful with what things we have now. Even if our stewardship now is mostly over what we call unrighteous wealth, the things of this world whose value is truly passing away, the choices we make every single day matter. Our daily life is a school for faithfulness. Jesus told us that. He said, if you haven't been faithful with worldly things, who will entrust you with true riches? But ultimately, the conclusion that Jesus draws in this parable is that money and possessions have the power to enslave us. No servant can have two masters, he said. The riches of this world that we work so hard to get, the things that we need, like our house and our food and our clothing, and then all those other things that we just want, how often do those things end up owning us? Charlie and I were just talking about this morning when we were standing at the door. How much of our time and our energy and our resources are spent on the care and feeding of our stuff, our house and our car and our lawn? The world would really like us to believe that wealth brings freedom and happiness. But if you ever read the celebrity news, you know that that's one of the great illusions. Worldly riches are like those little gremlins in the movie that seem so cute and friendly and fuzzy until they kill you. The wealth that people spend their lives trying so hard to get is much more often the source of sleepless nights than it is of carefree days. Money, or the lack of money, or the pursuit of money is the root cause of divorces and broken friendships and murders and frauds and suicides. And the reason for that is that if God is not our master, money will jump right in and take that position gladly, and money is a cruel boss. People are very fond of pointing out that the Bible never says money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's true. Paul wrote that in 1 Timothy. And somehow that makes us feel a little more comfortable in our relationship with money. We can have money as long as we're doing good things with it and loving God more than our money. But here's what Jesus is telling us in the parable of the dishonest steward. Money is clamoring for our allegiance, and it's very good at getting it. And the thing is that God won't share. No one can serve two masters, Jesus said. You either hate the one and love the other, or you're devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. It turns out our faithfulness doesn't depend so much on what we're stewarding. towards us, it doesn't depend on how valuable those things are. It depends entirely on who our master is. That's the great choice of discipleship. Joshua said it centuries ago to the Israelites when they were entering the promised land. Choose this day whom you'll serve. The main thing that we need to choose as good stewards is not what we have in our possession, but who our master is. It seems like I've been doing a lot of talking recently about the burden of our stuff. That's somehow been in my sermons quite a bit lately. And right now, I'm in the thick of sorting through years and years of stuff that our umpteen children have left behind and that we have accumulated. Stuff that has sentimental value, as we like to say, and stuff that's just stuff. And the teaching of this parable throws me a lifeline. And not so much as you might expect, because it reminds me that possessions are just part of this broken creation that's passing away, though that is true. The parable is good news to me, and it's good news to you, because it reminds us of something that we need to be reminded of regularly. That Christian life is not about muddling around, trying to find some kind of a balance between our worldly life and our spiritual life. That's exhausting, and it's also impossible. It all comes down to what Jesus told Martha as she was frantically bustling around the kitchen that day, trying to do what she thought she had to be doing. And he came to her and he told her, there's only one thing that is needful. Now, when the Pharisees heard the story of the dishonest manager, Luke tells us in the next verse, if we had kept reading today, they just laughed at Jesus. They ridiculed him. And Luke says, that's because they were lovers of money. And Jesus said to them, you look just fine to the people around you on the outside, but God knows your hearts. And all those things that are so highly valued and respected by people are an abomination to God. Now, Christians like to throw around that word abomination when they're talking about sins that are shocking to us, but Jesus is not talking about sexual immorality or any other sin here. He's talking about our paychecks and good clothes and good food and nice houses. All those things that people want just as much today as they wanted them back in those days. And it all comes down to that one choice we have to make between the freedom and joy of serving God in every part of our lives, everything, and the servitude of that eternal juggling act, trying to maintain the requirements of the world of money and possessions that will enslave us with all their cleverly designed chains of sentiment and status and responsibility and very fleeting pleasure. Jesus put it this way, where our real treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. The God of this world is clamoring for our allegiance, but God will not share. Choose this day whom you will serve.